Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
We're going to talk next to Simon Hunter from El País, and this will be our first trip to El País of 2021. And so I thought I'd play Simon on with his very own theme tune.
When I feel your gentle touch and things are going our way,
I've got absolutely no idea what that song is. It's a part of a film called Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. And we discovered that we're both huge fans, Simon.
Oh, I love it. Every week I'm going to start the little chat by shouting out, Ding dong.
It's a brilliant film for those who haven't seen it, and it stars Will Ferrell, who I absolutely love, but he's one of those kind of polarizing actors, isn't he? There's a lot of people just don't get him at all. But Anchorman for me was the two Anchorman films are about, obviously, about being a news anchor, with some of the funniest films I think have ever been made, frankly. Just brilliant.
Absolutely. No, it's a really, really good song, and the music is fantastic too. Really superb.
I know some of the guys that were involved in that, so yeah, brilliant. So watch that Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga. Simon, welcome back. What a few weeks you've
Thank
had. So you escaped out of Spain just before the UK kind of shut down. And then as you come back, you enter carnage. How was the trip?
It's all been very stressful, to be honest. You might notice here, my voice is a bit muffled. I'm out on the street at the moment. I'm wearing a mask. I've got to walk to somewhere now. It's all been a bit stressful. The trip back to the UK was fine. We got back okay. We took a home PCR test when we arrived just to make sure that we were all safe and well. But right. Then, of course, what happened was this the whole thing about the UK strain of the coronavirus, or people get very upset when we call it that. We have to specify that it was the strain that was identified
yes.
in the UK
yes.
rather than being it's an amazing double standard of people who are happy to call it the China virus.
Get very upset
when you call it the UK strain. So that all kicked off, and that caused quite a lot of problems for people who have been trying to get back to Spain
yep.
after the Christmas vacation. So what happened was the Spanish government, as people probably know, said, okay, we're going to restrict people coming into Spain from the UK. Only residents and Spanish nationals will be allowed to enter.
Yeah.
And that was all going along just fine until Brexit Day came along. And on the 1st of January, the word was sent down to the airlines that they should only be accepting the new TIE residency card.
Which was completely wrong. Yeah.
Exactly, which was completely wrong. It went completely against all of the advice that the Spanish government and the British government have been giving out. Now, it's worth pointing out that new plastic card is not compulsory for British nationals.
Absolutely.
UK nationals living in Spain. It's been recommended, and I certainly would recommend getting it, because it is a plastic card rather than that flimsy little green piece of paper that we're all used to having.
Yeah.
It also carries your photo. They take your fingerprint when you go and apply for it. So it's definitely well worth getting. Mm. Now, the problem was that I have mine on its way, but I was in the UK with that green card.
Yep.
That green flimsy card. And so we suddenly started to panic that we weren't going to be allowed to fly back. And indeed, what did happen on that Saturday, on that 2nd of January, was that people were being turned away from flights by British Airways and Iberia at Heathrow, and also it happened with some of the budget airlines at other airports as well.
Good.
So, cue massive panic for anyone that was in that position, including me.
Yeah.
So we did quite a lot of reporting on it. I did a lot of tweets about it over the weekend. Spoke to the embassy. The British embassy were adamant that this shouldn't be happening. And basically, it turned out to be some kind of miscommunication or misunderstanding on the part of the Spanish authorities, who passed down word to the airlines to say you can only accept this card. So by the time we flew on the Wednesday, the problem had been more or less sorted out. But I must say, I mean, for all these people who've been complaining about, oh, Spain doesn't check your PCR test when you arrive in Spain in the airport, that's absolutely not true. I mean, we were checked at both ends when we got to Heathrow. They wanted to see our documents, and also when we arrived in Madrid, they very carefully checked our PCR test results, and also looked at our you have to fill out a form and you get a QR code. So there are controls in place. Now, what's happened is Spanish authorities, when this happened, the Spanish authorities basically said, okay, if you haven't got your residency card, but if you have applied for it,
yep,
and you have been given the piece of paper that says that you've applied for it, then you can basically present that in the airport, and that will be valid for you to come back to Spain on the basis of your impending residency status, basically.
Yes.
But they only that was only a temporary measure, and that period has now expired. So basically, if you're coming back to Spain and you've got residency, you need either your green credit card sized residency card, or you need the A4 sized green residency certificate, or of course you need the new TIE card. So you know, anecdotally, I'm seeing from, you know, I've got a friend or contact that lives in Barcelona, and he's saying that a lot of people that he knows are not being allowed to travel. They're being turned away from flights because, despite all of the warnings, despite all of the time that people have had to sort this out, a lot of people haven't got their residency organized and have not been able to fly back. It's also worth pointing out that they've extended this restriction on flights from the UK now. Spain has extended it again for a second time, and this is now going to run until at least February the 2nd, and obviously, depending on the situation, they may extend it further.
And then you, of course, have now got the reciprocal issue that the UK have now implemented a test requirement for entry to the UK, but they've not actually specified what that requirement is yet.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just about to say that. Yeah. So now you have to get a PCR to fly to the UK. Interestingly, we had a lot of confusion over this when Spain introduced their measure. It's 72 hours before arrival.
Yeah.
You need to take the test when you come into Spain. And as far as I can see, I think the UK is saying 72 hours before departure.
That's correct.
Yeah, so that's worth bearing in mind. And also, for anyone who is listening, just in case anyone's listening is about to return to Spain from the UK, the Spanish authorities basically have said that they're going to allow, they're going to give people a bit of leeway if their PCR test has now more than 72 hours old because of the weather disruption.
Okay.
So if you've had delays to your flight, you've been stuck somewhere because you couldn't fly into Madrid or whichever airport it is, then don't worry, because they are going to be flexible in terms of the date that you took your test.
Okay. So, and talking of the weather, Mr. Hunter, you've been posting some incredible pictures from Madrid over the last week or so. It looks like Lapland, basically.
It's extraordinary, Bill. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, there was a big... we did have a big snowfall back in 2009, and when this started, I thought, oh, this will be just like it was in 2009. But I went back and checked my pictures from that that particular weather event, and there was nothing
compared to this.
A light smattering compared to this. I mean, this is extraordinary. It started to really snow on Friday evening,
yep.
And it didn't stop in Madrid for 30 hours. And I know people are getting a bit bored of us Madrileños banging on about all this snow, but it really is. It's probably a once, well, depending on what's causing it, it's probably a once-in-a-lifetime event. And I've just never seen anything like it. On Friday evening, Friday night, all we could hear was every half an hour outside our window, a loud crack and a soft thud as the branches of the trees outside just fell apart and splintered and fell to the ground. And unfortunately, what's happened, I don't know why in Madrid the trees are so susceptible to falling down like that. Maybe it's the dry conditions, the extremes of hot and cold that we get.
Yeah.
But it's happened plenty of times before without this kind of snowfall. But basically, that's been not only is the snow and the ice causing problems in Madrid at the moment, but it's the trees everywhere. There's just branches falling down everywhere. It's extraordinary.
And now, as you sit here, on Wednesday, the 13th of January, is it dissipating, or is it kind of now terrible and gone to ice?
No, it's gone to ice, because then to compound things and to almost make the situation worse than it was at the weekend, we've now got this very unusual cold snap with these record low temperatures.
Yeah.
So all of this really, really thick snow has frozen and has basically turned the city into something of an ice rink.
Oh.
Now, there's been a lot of complaints, as usual, about what the authorities have been doing or haven't been doing. But I think, to be honest, we have to be fair in that this would be a challenge to any city,
let alone even
a city that's used to snow, because obviously we're not used to snow here in the centre. We are. I mean, you could drive 40 minutes south of Madrid and be up in the mountains and cavort around in the snow, but in the city, we're not prepared for this.
Mm.
So I think they're going as fast as they can, but it's been really nice to see that there's been quite a strong community spirit. People have been coming up. Basically, the authorities asked people to go out and clear the snow from their streets if they could, which caused much hilarity, because a bit like the guy who was with his sled and huskies on the streets of Madrid on Friday, and everyone said, well, where on earth did that come from? everyone was asking on Sunday, why do all these people who live in apartments have shovels? But lots of people got out on the street with shovels. I managed to get one off our doorman in our building, because he does the gardening stuff in the building. So we were able to clear our streets. But also, what's also been really nice is this group of people with very powerful 4x4 pickup trucks and similar vehicles have basically been offering to take people around who need to get to the hospital, or people that need to go from here to there under these circumstances. They've even been pulling out rescue vehicles that got trapped themselves.
Wow.
I mean, it's been quite extraordinary to see, and nice to see everyone pulling together. But it's crazy. And of course, the schools have closed, so I'm at home with my kids again. we can't go outside because of the dangers of the not just of slipping over, but also snow falling off the roofs and bits of building falling off buildings, because obviously the buildings aren't used to this kind of weight.
And also, Simon, even here in Andalusia, it's not nothing like that, but it's blooming nippy, and Spanish homes are not exactly made for the cold, are they?
No, absolutely not. No, I mean, we're all set up for, to be honest, it depends where you are, because obviously there's plenty of mountainous areas
sure.
in, in Spain, which have this kind of weather on a regular basis. But yeah, we're more set up for the heat. So to have this extreme is pretty quite it's quite extraordinary. I wish you could see me at the moment. I look like the Invisible Man because I've got my mask on, a hat, glasses, and gloves, and it's just I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I wish you could see me because I'm so cold. I'm wearing my dressing gown. So.
Oh, that's what we call underpants journalism in the business.
Is that right? Okay, so that's that. What an extraordinary story. And, of course, during all this, the coronavirus pandemic has been going on, and no surprise that the numbers are going up due to Christmas socialising, even before you add in the Three Kings.
Exactly, yeah. So what we're seeing at the moment now is the effect of New Year. Incidence is on the rise. The accumulative incidence for every 100,000 people over the last 2 weeks is something like 450 cases at the moment. The Spanish government considers 250 to be, the limit for before you're getting into a very serious situation. In some areas, it's as high as 1,000 cases, more than 1,000 in Extremadura is particularly badly hit at the moment. Madrid's getting very bad again. It's over 600. Only Asturias and the Canary Islands are in any kind of good situation at the moment. So yeah, like you said, I mean, it's no great surprise. There was a certain relaxation. I mean, let's not get carried away. It wasn't a massive relaxation of the measures over Christmas and New Year. In fact, just before New Year, they actually toughened them up in a lot of places because they could see the situation was starting to get worse again. So, yeah, we're basically, well into a third wave, one that is likely to get worse over the next couple of weeks and will probably peak towards the end of the month. At the same time, the vaccinations are going very unevenly. Sorry,
that's someone shuffling, right?
Yes, there's someone shuffling. Sorry about that. So the vaccinations are going at a very uneven pace, depending on where you are. Again, Asturias is the place that seems to be doing it the best. They opted to administer all of the doses they received rather than keeping back half for the second dose in the following couple of weeks, which is probably a very sensible approach. And Madrid is an absolute disaster. Oh. And as usual, the regional premier is doing everything she can to try and blame the central government for this and talking about not receiving enough doses, but they're just not administering them at any kind of speed. I mean, it was difficult. I understand it was difficult over New Year's because what happened is they're vaccinating in senior residences, and a lot of residents were allowed to leave their residence for the Christmas period and go and stay with family members and relatives. So, and of course, they were inoculating staff, and the staff weren't there. But what really beggars belief is that they weren't working on the holiday days or the weekend. And you would think that the absolute priority at the moment is to get that vaccine out as quickly as possible, and it should be all systems go, and it doesn't matter whether it's a weekend or a holiday day.
So absolutely,
they've got some catching up to do. But we've just got the first delivery of the Moderna vaccine as well, so that means that the supply is going to be coming in thick and fast, and now we just have to see in what order they're going to do it in, because we still haven't had confirmation of what comes next after they finish doing the senior residences and their staff and the frontline medical workers. And a lot of people have been asking us what the situation will be for British national, British nationals.
Or people with private health insurance as well is another question that people are asking.
Exactly, and we don't actually have an answer for that yet because we just don't know what they're going to do. I would assume, though, I would venture to say that as long as you're registered, as a resident and you're registered with the healthcare system here, I don't think it's going to be any issue. Mm. But obviously, people who are in an irregular situation might end up having difficulties. So that is yet to be confirmed. But as soon as we have any news on that, we will rush it up, because we've had that a lot of people asking us that question.
Well, if anyone wants to find out more, El País in English, just Google that. You'll find all the information there. Simon and his team do a fantastic job of getting things up to the minute. What a brilliant first broadcast back, Sam. We've had a bloke shoveling behind you. You're out in the snow. You couldn't make it up, really.
Absolutely. And now, Bill, please don't ya ding dong. Pay ya ding dong.
You look after yourselves and your family, Simon. We'll speak to you and Melissa next week at the same time.
And you take care.
All the best. Bye bye.
TRE Talk Radio Europe.